When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Built for Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jose Iglesias joins us at the top of the 8 a.m. hour. Of course, he's going to join us on Friday at Boomer and Geo Live in Huntington. Now, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. We have not seen anything about the one particular free agent that we feel is newsworthy enough to have a discussion about. Is that because I'm fine. I'm good. I've seen things leak out here and there, but I don't think there's anything concrete and worth saying. It's just the same old crap.
I'm just going to say this without saying the name. If the person that we are not allowed to talk about actually had an offer that is as significant as the offer that is circulating out there and he hasn't signed that offer with the Mets, then what is he doing?
What he's doing is he's trying to get more. In control, him and Scott Boras.
According to sources.
You know. Well, you're talking about the Carlos Baerga thing that was thrown out there?
Yes.
Okay.
Juan Soto!
I heard C-Mac. He was like, I'm going to talk about Juan Soto. Even in the morning show, I'm going to talk about Juan Soto. Like, of course you are.
Well, you just said the name.
Yeah, I was
doing
it. You're right.
You just said it twice.
I was mocking him.
You said it twice.
I was mocking him.
I could have mocked, but I didn't mock, and I didn't say anything.
You know, it's fair, but at the same time, both. So, like, you guys weaseled out of it the last time. I'm going to weasel out of it. I was doing a mocking of it.
It came out of your mouth.
Yeah, but
during our
you pay your 20, then I'll pay my 20.
That's a national sports minute. I don't do it out of this studio, not out of this microphone.
But you did it seriously.
Yeah, I was doing a mocking. They're not going to talk about it. Yeah, that's what it was.
If Gio has to pay, you have to pay.
And then Jerry has to pay.
Well, who made you the arbiter of this?
I mean, I think everybody's opinion counts.
Common sense.
Oh, now you're on the common sense bandwagon. About time.
Let's put it in the jar. Let's go, both me and you right now. Admit that you were wrong.
No,
you
was said not it. Wrong.
Oh, my God. It's impossible.
I'm not wrong. I mean, you just said it into that microphone live on this show.
Yeah, mocking it. But just doing like a Chris McMonagle mocking it. Talking about our thing where we ban the word.
But so you're very good when you mock people. And you're very good when you do your impressions. So you're saying that if you go into an impression, it's not really you saying it because you're mocking somebody or you're impersonating them? Is that what you're saying?
Kind of, yeah.
So then you could use that as your out, so you could talk about the person we're not supposed to be talking about.
Yeah, talking about why we're not talking about it. Like, I wasn't talking about him seriously. I was talking about the overnight guy talking about it because we don't talk about it. So I wasn't really talking about it.
Okay. I just wonder that if the number is as significant as it's supposed to be, then why
you're seriously talking about it?
Why hasn't it been signed?
I told you why. Because they're going to squeeze every penny out of this whole situation.
My play would have been to him, here's what we're willing to give you, sign it right now or we're leaving.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
All right, you both have to pay because you just talked about it for 3 effing minutes.
But we didn't mention the name.
But that's the key. About it, and that's the point. The point
here it goes again.
Stop
in judgment of everybody.
Well, I didn't. Yeah, I mean, you kind of did go into seriously talking about it.
Well, you asked me about it.
Well, I asked you if there was anything that you felt was newsworthy, so I guess you did.
I felt there was newsworthy, yes, and that's why we definitely danced around the name, but we touched on it.
If there's something that you think is newsworthy, then we're allowed to talk about it. We're allowed, because if one of us deems it newsworthy, I did not think any of it was newsworthy. But if you did, then fine.
Well, once Carlos Baerga.
I don't want to help
you. I don't even
you.
Know how to say the name.
I don't want to help
all
you.
Right, whatever.
It was funny. Carlos
saying.
Baerga.
Baerga, okay.
Yeah.
As soon as he said what he said, then I figured that that would be legit.
Yes, it's actually Carlos Buccaneers.
Buccaneers, okay.
That's how you pronounce. Yeah, I know. Which is unbelievable that Carlos Baerga would be involved in something like this.
That doesn't surprise me. I mean, at all.
Well, I didn't say, I wasn't going to say it. It surprised me. I just found it ironic in the fact that Carlos Baerga was one of the biggest busts.
That was really surprising.
Biggest busts that they had when it came to bringing in a big name. And now he's the one that is throwing numbers out there when it comes into bringing in a big name. So
who was he represented by?
Back in the day, Carlos Baerga?
Yes.
I don't know. That was a long time ago. So I have no idea. But it was.
He may be working for the agent. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. You can book him, though, if you'd like, for a speaker fee. So you want to book Carlos Baerga for your party? We could do that. Let's have a party. Who's coming? Carlos Baerga. How much do you think he gets for something like that?
I don't know. It depends on where it is, what he's doing, what he's being asked to do.
How much would you pay Carlos Baerga to speak at your event? 20-minute speech. How much does he think that he commands?
$30,000
$30,000 for Carlos Baerga?
Yeah, something like that.
No way. No more.
$1,000! There you go.
I'd say closer to $1,000 than $30,000.
No.
10?
He's, how many years did he play in Major Leagues?
For a while.
I mean, a long time.
Yeah.
All-star?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, come on.
$30,000.
At least.
Yeah.
I would think.
I want to kind of inquire about fees. I want to know. I just want to have Carlos. Maybe I'll have Carlos Baerga show up at Sabrina's birthday. It's coming up February. You're trying to figure out what's going on. Her seventh birthday.
I mean, you're not going to bring
here you go,
Carlos
Sabrina.
Baerga.
Here's a New York Met bust here at your birthday.
Go get pizzay.
You're not going to be doing that. Here you go. You had the princess birthday last time. Now you got Met Bust's birthday. Here's Jason Bay. You can come on in.
A lot of these guys, they do like 16th birthday parties. They do bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs.
Carlos Baerga, I mean, he's been out of the league for a long time. He's not doing a sweet 16.
Well, I'm sure that there are people that still remember him fondly. Maybe not with the Mets.
The Sweet 16 party in 2024. Carlos Baerga shows. You want to talk about like a disappointment if you're a kid. Like, this is the best you got? It's Carlos Baerga? I went to a Sweet 16 party and T-Pain was playing.
I mean,
you got me Carlos Baerga?
You
got
to let go of this hatred.
I don't have hatred for him.
It sounds like it.
He was a bust here, though.
All right.
He was a bust. It's not a hatred. It's just I think it's funny that someone would actually pay Carlos Baerga to show up somewhere and speak.
Hey, I'm not sure what he's speaking about. I don't know what his subject matter could possibly
right
be.
Right now, he's causing waves out there, apparently, because he's throwing out numbers and
sounds
people are
like
reacting
it.
To it.
And speaking of waves, this whole thing, these next 7 weeks for Daniel Jones and the Giants is going to be tough. It's going to be really tough. I mean, because, they've been telling us for 2 years how they believe in him. First guy in, last guy out. He's the leader, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be a really awkward time for him and the team and the fan base. And, he's going to be the third QB now. And it's say whatever you want about his performance and everything else. I'm just giving you the perspective of how I'm sure he feels a sense of distrust. He probably feels demeaned in some respect. Mm-hmm. And, while a guy like Tommy DeVito is living his dream.
Yeah.
It's the nightmare scenario for Daniel Jones.
I mean, but can you really feel that way when you've been given so many opportunities?
For him, yes. Yes,
I mean, this is a personal sixth year.
I understand that. But, he's gotten hurt. He's gotten hurt significantly. He's gone through rehab a number of different times. He had the neck injuries. He's got the knee injuries. He's tried to do the best that he possibly can, which is obviously not good enough. I'm just telling you from the human side of things.
Yeah, no, I
sometimes you tend to forget that these guys are actually.
No, I know that, but I mean, I'm also, of course, he's going to be disappointed. But could he really feel betrayed by the Giants? I mean, all they did was stand by him, pay him an exorbitant amount of money after one good year, and then continue to stand by him. He's the quarterback, and then it wasn't good enough. And if you look back, we talked about how many missed throws there were and opportunities that he made mistakes in as opposed to making the big play. I mean,
especially the last game against the Panthers. I mean, it was obvious. It was painfully obvious, unfortunately, once again. But I'm just giving you the human side of it. That's
I agree there's going to be emotions there, but distrust? Like, I don't, that I can't understand. I'm sorry. He's gotten way too many opportunities, and he's probably the Giants were the only organization that were going to pay him the money that they paid him. And you should be thrilled.
Well, I know that, you know, from where we sit in our ivory tower over here, yes, we could say that he's thrilled, and I would love to have $82 million, but nobody wants to be embarrassed. Nobody wants to feel as if they're the reason why the team is losing. And there's only one place that you can change to make the team different, and that is that quarterback. And have the biggest difference. And living through it, it's not easy, man. I'm just telling you, it's just not easy, that's all.
Yeah, I know, but I don't think you're hearing what I'm saying. I'm not disagreeing with you that it's not easy. You mentioned the word distrust and dishonesty and feeling betrayed. That, to me, is ridiculous. If you're Daniel Jones, you cannot feel distrust or betrayed. All they did was hand you the ball 10 million goddamn times. You had all these opportunities, and they paid you way too much money. So you could be disappointed, you could be sad, you could do all these human emotions you're talking about, but he could not feel betrayed by this organization. You should be lucky that he got drafted there and got paid by them.
You also have to remember, too, that you know he has an army of people in his life, you know, that I'm sure that are very supportive of him and are, you know, are basically have been hit over the head with all the negativity over the last 2 years. I mean, it's just, you still have human emotions. You still got to live your life and you still got to be able to go out and do things. I mean, it's just, and there are people that still believe in him, believe it or not. It's not everybody. I know it's a very loud minority, but I'm just giving you a perspective. That's all.
Yeah, no, I know. And I heard that. I was just saying, so you you still think that he should feel distrust or dishonesty?
I'm not telling him how he should feel. I'm telling you how I think he feels.
But why aren't you arguing the point that I'm arguing? You just keep going back to saying the same thing. Do you still believe that it's dishonesty and distrust he should be feeling from the Giants?
I don't know the meetings that he has had with Brian Daboll and Joe Shane and his quarterback coach, and Mike Kafka, you know, all these different things.
What about all the stuff that you saw during Hard Knocks? You didn't think that, I mean, he probably knew that he was on the way out.
Well, that to me was the worst of it all. Because they were openly talking about bringing in his replacement. Now, I think they probably did that knowing that he was going to see it, that his family was going to see it, that his friends were going to see it, that his supporters were going to see it, and hopefully that was going to light a fire under him.
Yeah, it did the first year.
I think going into this year, I think they were trying to light a fire under him. That's what I think.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's just there's some guys that just will not catch fire. There's just some guys who are like made out of asbestos. And he's that guy. There's no way he was catching fire. He did it 1 year. He did it when they had didn't pick up the 50-year option, played well, got his contract. But now it's over. So I would actually be more pissed off if I were Drew Lock than Daniel Jones, because Drew Lock had all these places he could have gone to play. He came here because he thought Daniel Jones was going to get hurt or sucked. It ended up being the latter. And then they take Tommy DeVito and hop over.
Well, the problem is that they've waited too long. Like, the season's over. You know, it's not over from the fact that they still have 7 games to play, but it's essentially over. They're not going to the playoffs. They're not doing anything. So I think Drew Lock had Daniel Jones, and Drew Lock has played in 2 games, but had Daniel Jones gotten hurt against the Commanders or maybe the Browns or the Cowboys in the first 4 games, then maybe, just maybe, Drew Lock would be the first alternative to go in there. Now, when you look at his contract, the way that it is written and the incentives that are out there for him to make, there's no reason to play a guy at all unless somebody gets hurt now.
Yeah, I mean, and from the business standpoint, like we talked about, Tommy DeVito at least gives you a little juice. Let's go to Dan, who's in Manhattan. What's going on, Dan?
Not too much, guys. I just want to weigh in. I have to agree with Gio on this whole betrayal of Daniel Jones thing. He's had so many opportunities. Guys like Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff, those guys got betrayed because they were actually playing decently and got kicked to the curb for, you know, the hot new ticket. Daniel Jones got his contract extension, and he'll get a chance to play somewhere else again. Whether or not it's a starter or backup, he's still going to get paid. You know, and now is a chance where he could light a fire under him and see if he's going to do something.
Yeah, you know, Dan, I'm not disagreeing with you and Gio. I'm just giving you the perspective of what it feels like to have to show up being demoted all the way to quarterback number 3. Whether you, me, or Gio think that that's right, because I think we all believe that, you know, it has that ship has sailed here. We know that. I'm just giving you the perspective of how the player is going to feel. And I know you don't care about that. Doesn't matter. You just want your team to win. You want Tommy DeVito to do well. And hopefully Tommy DeVito has a good game this week and they're able to win and the Giant fan can go home happy. But I'm just, all I'm doing is giving you the the feelings of the quarterback who, for all intents and purposes, since he's been here for 6 years, has been the leader of the team, especially after Eli finally left.
Yeah, I mean, and he's a good guy, worked his ass off, came back from injuries, all of that. But his name for in Giants history is just going to be right there in the same conversation as Dave Brown. I mean, that's what it's going to be. I mean, it's not going to be a fun thing to remember. There's going to be very few people that remember the playoff win and that year, as opposed to all the injuries and all the losses and all the disappointment.
So the other thing that goes on here too. Let's say the Giants win this week, and let's say, you know, Tommy DeVito throws 3 touchdown passes. You know, you could just imagine the blowback that, you know, everybody would be happy for Tommy, but they're all going to be really now looking at Daniel.
Well, also going to say, why didn't you do this earlier? You
might have been able to save the season. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's the point I'm making.
See, and I really like Tommy DeVito, and I wonder, the one thing that is interesting about him is the fact that he got his opportunity last year to play. So he's been out there. He's won games. And now this entire year, we know he's been working with that experience. I mean, there's a chance that he's gotten much better from then the last time we saw him to now. There actually is that chance. And he's been practicing, and he's been another year in the offense and Brian Daboll and everything else.
Do you feel like the Giants are a better offensive team for him to flourish under?
I mean, in theory, they're actually running the ball pretty well without Saquon Barkley. You know, I think that, you know, unfortunately, Malik Nabers has not been as much of an impact as he was a few weeks ago before the injury. But
maybe he will be now.
But I do think that, yes, I mean, there's an opportunity for him to, you know, it just sucks that Andrew Thomas is out, though. You know, that offensive line, just trying to figure that out, is just a major problem for them. But, yeah, I think he can be better. Let's go to Mark in Jersey City. What's going on, Mark?
Morning, gentlemen. This seems to have struck a nerve with Boomer, so I got to ask, if there was one, what was Boomer's most humiliating demotion as a professional QB? Who was the quarterback that got in?
Well, I'll tell you this, because I speak about experience or through experience to give you an idea of what it feels like. And it's a little bit different here, but it was 1992 for the Bengals. They drafted David Klingler, I think number 4 overall in the 92 draft. And I was coming back, and David Shula was our new head coach. So we had a lot of inexperience and a lot of different things going on. Team wasn't very good. And with about 5 games left in the season, I think they decided to go to David. And they went to David, and that was the game I told you about. We played Pittsburgh, and that was Coach Cower's first year. And the 2 weeks prior to playing us, Pittsburgh played Indianapolis and Buffalo, who played with mainly 3 wide receivers, 1 running back, and a tight end on the field predominantly the whole game.
This 1992?
1992. And Pittsburgh showed against those 2 teams basically a 42 nickel defense. It was a little bit easier to understand the pass protections under those circumstances. So our coaches decided that we were going to play the whole game in that, like, that formation and that personnel group.
Yeah.
And the question was Bill Cower going to go back to the 34 defense, or was he going to do what we had seen in the previous 2 weeks against 2 teams that predominantly played in that offense? So our coaches thought that they would react the same way if we played it. And then that Saturday night, I went into a meeting and I said, what happens if they don't play it and they play a 34? I did that on purpose.
Right. Yeah.
So what are you going to do? What's he going to do?
Yeah.
And everybody started panicking. So the next day we came out, and sure enough, they started in the 34 defense. We didn't have any answers for it. And I want to say it was 11 sacks later.
Ooh.
It was either 11 or 9 sacks in that game.
And this was in Pittsburgh?
No, it was in Cincinnati.
In Cincinnati, wow.
I walked off that field going, thank God. Well, if I were on the field, that wouldn't have happened.
Sure.
But it was ugly.
Was that the game that you were warming up? Were you throwing the balls at Bill Cower's feet, or was that later?
No, that was later on. That was when I went back to Cincinnati in 1997.
See, I like that. That's my favorite Bill Cower Boomer story.
Yes.
Is that one.
He got really mad at me.
We do.
he got really mad at me.
And he remembers that, like, to this day. Like,
of course he does.
Vividly.
And he remembers
balls on my feet.
And by the way, 1992 was his first year in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And his I think Brett Favre's first start was against Pittsburgh in week 3 or 4 that year because Brett Favre came in against us and beat us in the fourth quarter because Don Majkowski got hurt.
Yeah, I remember that game. I actually do as a kid seeing him running around throwing a ball like crazy. I'm like, who is this?
So to answer that person's question, that was the year that I know what Daniel's feeling.
Yeah.
I felt it myself. And now I was younger than – now I was probably about the same age. I think I was probably about the same age.
Yeah, just, but your personalities are so different.
You just don't want to give it up, man.
But your personalities are so different.
Yeah. Well, that was also a team that I had played for, won the Pro Bowls, you know, won the MVP. And,
right.
Daniel and I just felt like I got kicked to the curb. But, you know, in all honesty, Mike Brown, the owner of the team, basically said, we need you for 92, and then we'll try to trade you after. And it was either, I think it was either the Raiders or the Jets. So.
Yeah, and there it was. History. And then it was
now,
the
if
Jets.
I was making the cash that Daniel was making, as Mike from New Rochelle is going to bring up, I think I would be a little bit more happier than I was back then. Right, Mike?
The Boominator. How we doing, man? Good morning. Right. Good morning. Good morning. But, I tried. You know, I tried. I went positive going into the season, you know. But, you know, then I watched Hard Knocks. And the one thing that I really felt weird about is, do you really need like 15 people to make one decision? You know, this guy had like all these people in a room just to make like one decision. You know, there was only one decision to be made. And the day Barkley came in to MetLife and did what he did was just totally embarrassing. Shane, Dable, I don't care if he's a guru. I don't care if Shane is one of the, but that was just straight embarrassing. Embarrassment. That cannot happen, you know. But third string, fourth string, fifth string, don't feel bad for the guy. You know, in this day and age, the guy made $40 million for basically doing nothing. Okay. And in the future, Giants, don't draft a quarterback coming out of a basketball college. It ain't gonna work. It ain't gonna work.
All right, Mike. Yeah, and I mean, listen, yeah. So you can trace both the Jets and Giants struggles back to whiffing on quarterbacks in the draft. And most organizations, by the way, the same situation.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've got Jerry Recco back with another sports update. What's going on, Jerry?
We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Monday Night Football wrapped up the week in the NFL. It was in Dallas, AT&T Stadium, and it looked really nice because they had the roof open, or at least we thought so. Here's Joe Buck on ESPN opening the broadcast.
Still the best way to start a broadcast, no doubt about it. The roof is open for the first time for a Cowboys game in over 2 calendar years. Oh, they closed it.
Yeah, they had the pieces of it falling down, so they had to close it. It was supposed to be open. It was a beautiful day in Arlington, and that was not expected, as they say. Here's Jerry Jones. I'll get to the game in a moment on the roof issue.
Apparently, did a little damage, and then when we tried to open it up, the winds got underneath the roof at that time, and so everybody agreed that it did some damage, but if you check around, Dallas had wind gusts all afternoon. I think they call them wind bursts or something like that.
Wind bursts.
Yes.
Yeah. So this was a bad day from the start. And
for who?
For the Cowboys.
Oh, okay.
And it did not
who
get
cares?
Better.
It was great for the Texans.
Well, that's what I was about to get to.
And by the way, I feel like it's the year of the revenge running back. So you got Joe Mixon, Saquon Barkley, and Derrick Henry all having great seasons, having left their previous teams.
Absolutely.
How about that?
No.
Wow, it sounded like a great sports. It's the revenge running back 2024.
Well, you mentioned Mixon. Here you go.
At the 45-yard line of Dallas, 1st and 10. Hand off Mixon. Starts right, cuts back left, has room. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Rock and roll. Touchdown, Joe Mixon.
And no flags.
No, not on that play.
Suck balls.
Oh, my God, Jerry.
But there were flags on a previous touchdown. And by the way, that was the first drive. On the first play, the Texans scored from about 78 yards out, but it was waved off for a penalty. But that was, and I think it was an illegal man. I think it was it Laremy Tunsil, illegal man downfield?
Yeah, no.
He was like a yard too far, and it waved off a short touchdown to Nico Collins, who was back. But Mixon goes in from 45.
Can't wait for that Micah Parsons podcast.
That'll be dropping today. It's going to be hot.
That's going to be good.
Oh, that's going to be great. Texans 7-4. Cowboys now 3-7. 34-10 was the final score of this game at AT&T Stadium. I bring that up because on Friday night, there was a big event at AT&T Stadium, as we know, and one that Christopher Mad Dog Russo on Sirius XM cannot believe that sports fans got involved with this Tyson fight, as he said on his radio show.
You guys out there who consider yourselves good sports fans, you decided, well, there's nothing else to watch. It's 10 or 12. Go read a book. I mean, my goodness gracious, and this is what you decide to put on your television set?
Yeah, he says, why don't you go have relations with your wife?
I know there's nothing on. I get that. It's 11:45 at night in the East Coast. Find something more productive to do. Where's the missus? I don't know. Do something. I mean, my goodness gracious. Take the dogs for a walk.
Now, the best part of all this is not that he's suggesting that you go have sex with your wife.
Yeah.
But as he also acknowledges, he was trying to sell you the fight.
First off, they did the spots on. I should have had the guts to say something then, but we're broke, we're serious, we need the money, so I couldn't say that. I had to do the spot live. You know, you have to, Eddie said, Christie's don't. We're going away. Look at the stock reversal. So from that standpoint, you did say that. So I read the commercial.
I mean, that right there is pure 100% Christopher Russo. Like, let me kill the company. Let me kill the guy who, you know, my producer. Let's be completely hypocritical and blame it on everybody else.
He lit everybody on fire except himself.
Oh, my God. By the way, you know, I did see something, you know, again, you don't know if it's true. It's social media. I think I saw it on X. Somebody posted those guys, Paul and Tyson fighting in the first round where Tyson was really throwing punches.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came together along the...
Sound like he said something to him. Yeah, or it looked like he whispered to him, right?
Or something, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we all knew what this was.
And then all of a sudden they backed off.
Yeah, exactly. That's enough. That's fine.
So maybe Tyson was charged up at the beginning.
I think he was.
It looked like it to me. So.
What do you think people paid for those tickets? Did you see those online?
There were actually like two, I don't know, there was something. It was like $1 million ticket if you sat there in the front in like a... What you would call like a recliner and everything else.
Is that where Charlize Theron was?
I think so. Yeah, right there. But I looked at it. It didn't, there, you could get in there relatively cheap, but like down below, of course, those tickets are really expensive and or they're handed out to celebrities for free.
Well, I thought they gave those tickets to like some law firm. Like some law firm bought those two seats for $250,000 per seat.
D'Agostino.
Yeah, right. Decolator, Cohen, and DeBrisco, LLP.
What was this? Michael the Bull Lamenthal.
Yes.
D'Agostino.
Where's Celino?
Well, one of them's dead.
Barnes.
Oh, yeah, Barnes passed, yeah.
Yeah, sadly.
Celino.
I think in a plane crash.
Yeah.
I know, terrible story, yes. Did you see that plane coming from where the woman's feet were on the ceiling? Did you see this?
No.
The horrendous turbulence it hit from overseas, Scandinavian Airlines, I believe, over the weekend?
No, she had never seatbelt on. She went up like that.
Yeah, I mean, stuff was flying all over the place. Really scary stuff.
Scandinavian Airlines.
I think it was Scandinavian Airlines.
I'm gonna check
that
out,
Friday or Saturday night. Yeah, because the video's there. People obviously had their phones going, and they had to turn the plane around. Freaky stuff.
Mm.
So, not good. Yeah.
Doom scrolling.
Yeah.
Well, no, it just came up on the feed.
On your feed.
It did, yeah.
Doom scrolling.
That's because you're a doom scroller. No, I think that... How many views does that video have?
I just have the TMZ link thing here.
Okay.
Yeah, extreme case of turbulence. Miami-bound flight was forced to pull a U-turn and return to Europe.
You know, when I was coming back from Tampa last week, the plane didn't have air conditioning for like the first 30 minutes.
That sucks.
It was hot as hell on that thing. And I had a guy next to me in a tank top sweating on me.
Oh.
It was gross.
Cheesy, greasy.
Ugh. It was terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible.
Like a hockey bag?
No, yes. And that's got a very distinct stink, as you know.
It stinks.
I know we don't have a lot of time, but the Knicks did blow out the Wizards 134-106. So now they have won three in a row and four of five. They're 8-6. The Wizards have lost nine straight. The Heat beat the Sixers 106-89 in a game that Philly led by a lot early, and they got their doors blown off the rest of the way. Philadelphia 2-11 on the season now, and both Embiid and Paul George did play in that game last night. And the Raptors beat the Pacers 130-119. I only bring it up because your old pal R.J. Barrett had 39 points. That said, Toronto snapping a seven-game losing streak. Tonight, the Nets are home for the Hornets, and the 15-0 Cavaliers are in Boston. So if you're looking for a fun game, that should be one later tonight. Yankees pitcher Luis Gil named Baseball Rookie of the Year, as was Pirates pitcher Paul Skenes. Skenes with MLB Network gave you a very... Is Livy Dunn, right? This is his girlfriend, so he's sitting there with her. And he gave you a very Skenes answer, although he did talk afterwards, but the initial reaction was funny.
Congratulations, Paul, from all of us. What does this honor mean to you right now?
This is cool.
And really, he didn't say anything for a little while. She starts laughing. He did actually converse with them, but yes, he's a man of very few words and showed it there yet again.
This is what I said. This is why he was able to land Livy Dunn, because it's the only woman in the only man in the world she can't impress. Right?
Yeah, you're like, probably right.
Like everybody else is drooling over, and this guy's like, yeah, it's fine. You're fine. Like you're, I mean, I guess you're kind of attractive. I don't know. Whatever. You do what, gymnastics? I mean, your ass is like a 5 out of 10.
I don't know about like, that.
But she's like, well, wait a second. No. I'm over here. Give me attention.
NHL tonight, the Rangers are in Vancouver. The Islanders face the Flames. College basketball, UConn moved up one spot to number 2 in the latest AP Top 25 poll. St. John's remained at 22. Rutgers stayed at 24.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
It's getting a cup of coffee. I had a thought back there. On Thursday night, not a big deal, but I fainted for reasons unknown, and I'm fine, got some tests done. I'm going to go to the doctor today to make sure everything is 100%. Not really concerned. But I was thinking, if I had died in that moment, because I had a friend who was thinking that, like, the worst when I had fainted in front of him, and he's like, oh, my God, he's going to die. He's having a heart attack. If I had died in that moment on Thursday night when I passed out, or if I had, like, hit my head and that was it for me, would Boomer and Geo Live have gone on as scheduled?
Show must go on. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
We would have had you there, like, maybe in a
urn.
Either, yeah, I don't know if you're going to be cremated. You're going
to
be.
I haven't really thought about that yet. Yes. I guess I have to think about that after my near-death experience.
That's what I'm saying. So I think we would have had you
laid out.
Laid out, I think. I think we would have made it like a funeral, but then would have had some laughs at your expense.
At my expense?
Well, I mean, like.
You know, I'm dead at this point. Yeah, you know, I mean,
your memory, like you have a great sense of humor.
Yeah,
you have a great feel for things, and I would think that we would all stand up there saying, "Gio would want us to do this."
And at the end, we'd be dancing around to "Oh My God" around him.
Gio's going to God. Oh my God!
I think that's probably what would have happened.
Going to God.
I really do think that probably, because if you think about it, in the money that has been generated and all the things we have spent, and all, you know, this is a big deal. It's a huge deal. This Boomer Geo Live. It's the biggest we have done. There's been a lot that's gone into it. There is no way they would have canceled that whole thing. No way.
Jose Iglesias
flying up from Miami.
And you would have wanted us to do it.
I don't know what I would have wanted.
Why wouldn't you want us to do it?
Well, I don't know, because I would be dead at that point. I don't know. What do you want when you're dead?
Well, I'm just telling you right now, if the roles were reversed, it were me, I'd say, go do it.
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
you have to do it. You know, people bought tickets. You got to show up.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it would be like kind of a makeshift memorial, so you wouldn't have to do a memorial. It just would be all, you know, encompassed into one.
Just think of all the great fans that we have and all the people that show up to these things.
Yeah.
And they get a chance to say, like, you know, you're
like Pete Rose.
Say goodbye to you. Yeah. Exactly. And I talked to Long Island. I talked to a guy who went to the Pete Rose memorial.
Okay.
He said it was great. He said the Reds did a great job with it. Probably, I want to say, over 10,000 people showed up.
Okay, nice.
You know, a lot of great memories, and you've given people lots of great memories, and I think that would have been the appropriate thing to do. Because I would have made the decision. They would have come to me, you know that.
Of course, yeah.
I want you to think about me when I'm gone. Who the f*** cares about me?
See, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. But you're right. I think all the people that, you know, because we got a lot of great stuff lined up on this Boomer and Geo Live, you just have to make a tweak here or there, you know, just take something out, like put in like, I don't know, like a remembrance video or something. And it would have to go on. I would have to say, just please, just let it happen. I can't let the fans down on the show, you know? That would be what it comes down to. But yeah, so we'll see. Luckily, we don't have to worry about it. Well, maybe. Who knows? There's still a couple days before the show.
But here's another question. If you have a repeat of what you happened to you, and not that you die, but that you collapse on the stage, you can't go on, then who's going to host? Is it going to be Al who would step in to host
Jerry,
the rest
Jerry.
Of
I think Jerry would do it.
You think Jerry? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Jerry would be able to step right up and do it. I think anybody could, really. Any one of you guys. But we don't want to put that pressure on Boomer. He needs to just be sitting there drinking. We'll just give it to Jerry.
Okay.
It'll be fine. But yeah, I did think about that. I was like, if I knew how to do that again, that would be a really cool bit during the show. If I could just like faint on command like that. I mean, they get everybody scared and just fall down like
yeah,
that.
I mean, we're glad you're fine.
Yeah.
And, you know, we really don't talk about stuff like that. You brought it up today, so.
Well, yeah, we'll talk about stuff like what? I'm fine. I'm okay. All good.
And if you did like collapse, then you guys would be even because you would miss the meet and greet like you were the person.
But I did come to
pretty
quickly. Well, I
actually collapsed that first
time. I know.
If you really think about it, I did collapse.
Oh, we know.
All right. Yeah. I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page.
But you had a little assistance from ranch dressing.
I did, man. It's all over my feet.
Oh, my goodness.